So devotional service, as propounded, as given by Lord Chaitanya, this is another type of love. This love is the love of the transcendental plane. It's a much different love of the material world. In the material world, love is there, but it's perverted. Perverted means that it's actually manifested in a perversion. That perversion is that we individualistically see ourselves as the center of love. In other words, it's actually egotistic. Love is selfish in the material world. We see ourselves as the benefactor of love. Therefore, when we love in the material world, it is relative to our body. It is relative to the extended body in the form of family, in the form of society, friendship, all of these things. So all of these relationships, like friend and lover and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, these are all perverted manifestations of those five major relationships that exist in the spiritual world. But here, they are pervertedly manifested. So therefore, Prabhupada uses that example that when one does not understand the complete arrangement, when one does not understand the complete arrangement, just like when the example is that when you want to see in darkness, you cannot see. But as soon as the sun rises, then everything gets seen in its proper perspective. When you're in a very dark room, then sometimes you think a chair is a table. Or you think this is that. Or you think you're not sure. There's not enough actual perception. There's not enough understanding to have conclusive knowledge. Therefore, everything becomes vague. Everything becomes very much bewildering. If you're in a pitch dark room, it's very frightening, actually, because you're worried you may trip over something, break your neck, you may hit your head on an iron bar and stick in your eye. There's all sorts of fears that haunt the mind. As soon as the sun rises, then everything falls into perspective, and then you feel relaxed. You feel, actually, now I can deal with this situation. I can deal with it, because I now see things in their perspective. So similarly, in the material world, everyone is situated in ajnana, ajnana timurandasya. Timurandasya means the dense darkness of this material world, and ajnana. This dense darkness of the material world causes ajnana. So therefore, we need jnana. We need jnana. But where does jnana come from? In the different yoga systems, there is jnana yoga, hatha yoga, raja yoga, so many different types of yoga. But all of those different yoga systems, they're reliant upon one's individualistic endeavor. And therefore, that is why progress in those yoga systems is very, very difficult for those who are embodied, for those who are conditioned. That's why Krishna says, meditation on the impersonal aspect of God is very, very difficult for those who are embodied. Although it does exist, but it's very, very difficult. So here, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya, they are also studying this point. They're studying the point of what is the supreme occupational duty? Because everyone has function. And if we study natural functions of the body, they're all similar in every human being. We are all functioning according to the mechanical laws of nature. Everyone in this room breathes through their nose. No one's breathing through his feet, isn't it? We all consume foodstuff through the mouth. We all see through the eyes. We all have our digestive system. We have our what you call biological system. We live within an environmental system, ecological system, atmospheric system. We live within a solar system. We are living within the complete arrangement of God, but unfortunately, the one factor which causes incompleteness is incomplete knowledge of that complete arrangement. That is the problem. Because there's incomplete knowledge of that complete arrangement, therefore everything we do is incomplete. You see? It's like if you have many thousands of zeros, they're all useless. But as soon as you put one, in front of them, then when you look in your bank account, you feel very, very happy. Isn't it, Radha? When you got that, and you look in your bank account and it's got 1,000 or 100,000 or 1 million, then you feel very happy in your mind. Oh, but all it is the same noughts, but there's one in front. It comes into significance. Isn't it? We all know that when we look. So therefore, similarly, there are so many systems and so many arrangements that are studied in the material so-called jnana. The jnanis of the material world, the so-called scientists, they are also jnanis. But their jnana is in relationship to the mundane. They can't move beyond that. They can't go beyond material because they have no knowledge of an existence beyond the material. They have no understanding that there is another dimension, that there is higher plane, that there is the transcendental realm. They cannot actually comprehend that because everything must be verified by their senses. All the knowledge of the material world has to be actually verified by our senses. Whenever we hear something, immediately we scrutinize it with our other senses. If I say to you that I saw 3 green elephants running around the temple, you'll immediately think, 3 green elephants? First of all, you think, I've never heard of a green elephant. And then what would 3 green elephants be doing in Bhaktivedanta Manor? So you'd be scrutinizing, and then you think, this guy's an idiot. He's actually gone wacky. So you'd naturally start, because you can't, your other senses cannot actually accept that thing. It's not acceptable. Because why? Because you can't relate to it. There may well be 3 green elephants running around the temple. But because you've never had experience of that, and you have so many reasons to doubt it, you therefore reject it as totally rubbish. So therefore, similarly, when we hear about the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the other senses cannot actually verify it. When we say God is appearing as a boar, so we think, what? A hog flying around in space? This is a bit too much. Now, if it was a person flying around in space, that might not be so bad, because we have had spacemen out there, and they've flown around a bit. So that could be, but a hog? What's a hog doing floating around, running around space, picking up planets from the bottom of these oceans? So therefore, God has a problem. Prabhupada said God has a problem. Because if he doesn't do anything wonderful, they say, well, how can you be God? Just like Sai Baba. Sai Baba is claiming to be God, so at least he's got to produce some ashes. That's the very least he has to do. If he couldn't even bring out a few ashes, even though you can get loads of ashes in all the fireplaces around the world, but he brings them out of underneath a table or something like that and makes it look like they came out of his hand. So therefore, everyone says, oh, look, Bhuti, Bhuti. God has produced something. But God is producing unlimited universes. What's a few ashes? But they don't understand. So even some little poor fellow like him, he has to bring out a small quantity of gold. He can't bring out a mountain of gold. He can bring out a little bit in his hand, and everyone goes, ooh, look, gold is coming. Then definitely he's God. So this is the foolishness of the material world. So Prabhupada said God has a problem, because if he does anything wonderful, how can people accept it? They can't verify it. They can't. It's not comprehensible to their mundane imagination. Therefore, that example of frog in the well is there. So generally, spiritual knowledge is not available for anyone and everyone. Therefore, it says, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, paripashena sevaya, that tadviri paripatena paripashena, here also paripashyat udashinam, that one sees from approaching the spiritual master, one should come because why? Because the spiritual master has tattva darshana. Tattva darshana means one who has seen the truth. So paripashena, one should remove all of those conceptions that one has, because one should understand with intelligence that all of these conceptions of the material world are relative to the mundane plane. And if I want to bring myself to the transcendental plane, then the only thing I require is to hear. I don't require anything else. It's amazing, isn't it? If you want to transfer yourself to the spiritual world, you only need to hear. There's no need of any addition or subtraction from what you've already heard throughout your life. There's no need to bring any of your mundane baggage to the transcendental plane. You don't have to bring your theories of evolution or the speculation of science or the speculation of the mundane empiricism or the speculation of your observations. You don't need any of that baggage because all of that baggage is inadequate in a plane which is adequate. You see? You don't need to bring the inadequate to the adequate. You may need to bring the adequate to the inadequate, but you never need to bring the inadequate to the adequate. So the first principle of spiritual life, you must understand that you're existing within the inadequate. If you're not realized on that plane, if you don't understand that the material world is inadequate, and I want to be adequate, then you cannot actually make that transition from mundane to spirit. If you still think that there's something to be captured here in the material world, therefore that word paripashena means to give up your mundane speculations, your mundane conceptions, your mundane ideas, then you can move forward. And then one, what is the quality that one should have? Obviously, one should be submissive. So just try to learn the truth by approaching the bona fide spiritual master. Offer, render service unto him. Inquire submissively. That word submissive is paripashena. Sevaya, to render service in that mood. So we should understand, that's the meaning of this whole Sankhya Yoga, means to understand the nature of this inadequate creation of this separated energy of Krishna, the material world. We don't need to take anything from this world to that transcendental realm, which is complete, because Krishna is complete. He is Purnam. And therefore, on the plane of Purnam, Purnam means perfect and complete. The Supreme Personality Godhead is perfect and complete. So when he comes into the material world, he says, here is my completeness. Have a look. You see? This is the whole meaning of understanding the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the sages of Namasharanya said, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Jnanyatyashu Viragyam Jnanam Charyada Hoitakam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. So, how does one get this causeless knowledge and detachment? So, that is actually explained here, that the sages of Namasharanya are inquiring from Suta Goswami. So Suta Goswami says that Savai Pamsam Parodamo Yakto Bhakti Erhopsache Ahoitakiya Pratiyata Yeyatma Supersedati. That supreme occupational duty, the supreme function of society, the supreme function of the government or the individual, the supreme function of all humanity, what is that function? That function is to actually render causeless devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such devotional service must be free from all motivation and interruption, in order to, yayatma supersedati, in order to give full satisfaction to the self. So that full satisfaction to the self is automatically there in every living entity. It's not something that you need to find independently. In the material world, satisfaction is something you need to look for. In spiritual life, satisfaction is not anything you need to look for. All you need to look for is to glorify, the opportunity to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the devotee, as Krishna says, satatam kirtayanto mam. The devotees are always satatam kirtayantam. They are always constantly glorifying me. Krishna says, the Mahatmas, the great soul, they are always constantly glorifying me. They are engaged in my devotional service with great determination and faith. They offer homage unto me. They worship me in devotion. So this is the essence of Krishna consciousness is simply to somehow or other to glorify Krishna, to find the opportunity. A devotee is always anxious. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is the glorification of Krishna. Nothing else. There's no big, mystery to the Srimad Bhagavatam. It means the beautiful glorification of Krishna, the beautiful story of Krishna. And then, automatically, by that glorification, one becomes completely satisfied. The Atma superseded thee. The Atma, the soul, becomes completely happy. And when there is full happiness of the soul, because what is the happiness? As it says, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Bhavitam Mitam Uttama. That this knowledge is the king of all knowledge because it gives direct perception to the self by realization. It gives direct perception by realization. And what is that? It is joyfully performed. Joyfully performed. The joyfulness, the happiness of spiritual life comes from satisfying Krishna. That is all. There's no other need. In the material world, there is so much need of extraneous endeavor because there is no possibility of satisfaction. Therefore, there is a constant upheaval of people trying to do this, to get this, to make this adjustment, to make that adjustment. But you'll find that these adjustments of the material world, they're endless, and they're never, never capable of satisfying the self, because they have nothing to do with the self. The adjustments of the material world and the mental adjustments of this plane, on the material plane, have nothing to do with the soul. The soul is only existing on the plane of pure love of God. And that level of pure love of God was displayed wonderfully in the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he is showing by practical example, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One will be free from all desires, completely. And that was exemplified in the life of the Goswamis, the life of many of the great acharyas. All of the acharyas up there that you see on the wall, they are all a perfect example of this complete satisfaction from simply chanting the holy names by glorifying Krishna in their very lives. So they achieve perfection. And we see that once one becomes a devotee, then automatically one can give up all of these what are generally great attachments. People are so much attached in the material world to sex life, intoxication. A devotee can go without sex life 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year, year after year after year after year, if he simply engages in glorifying Krishna. It's a fact. It's not a sentiment. If you go to any other process, you will find it very, very difficult even to stop the mind thinking of sex for 5 minutes. It's a fact. You can go and try. As soon as you stop chanting your rounds, as soon as you stop reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and reading Bhagavad Gita, as soon as you stop associating with devotees, immediately your sex desire will increase manyfold. Your desire for all of these things, like watching telly, going to here, going to there, having a little booze or whatever, it'll all come very quickly, flooding into your heart. So that shows by practical example. Prabhupada said, if you stop remembering Krishna, you will immediately carry on from where you left off in the material world. It is that exact. Very exact science. So therefore, don't take it lightly that you are being freed from this encumbrance nature of material life, but it is a great boon, it is a great gift of the spiritual master, and therefore one has to repay the spiritual master. How? By simply pleasing Krishna. That is all the spiritual master wants, is to please Krishna. And what does Krishna say in the whole Bhagavad Gita? He only mentions one particular thing that pleases him, exceptionally pleases him. He says, anyone who explains the science of the devotional service to devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and in the end he will come back to me. Of this there is no doubt. There is no one more dear to me in this world, nor will there ever be anyone so dear as he. So this is a very great secret in the Kali Yuga, what is called the preaching of the transcendental holy name, the preaching of the transcendental Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. These things should be taken very seriously in order to fully satisfy the self. Okay, we're finished there. Is there any questions, though? A deep silence. Okay. Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam Mahāpurāṇam ki jāy. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāy.